Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
A very good day to you from wherever you're listening. This is DW's Africa Link program coming to you from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Jane Ayeko Kumet.
And my name is Nyeninge. Glad you could join us. Remember, we are also live on Facebook, DW Africa, so feel free to drop us your comment. Coming up, Cameroon new cabinet continue to be criticized despite President Paul Biya handing over powerful dockets to English-speaking region. But why so?
The ongoing crises were somehow provoked by the same people who have been given the positions. So I would rather read it in another way, that it seems as though the harder you fight against your people, the more compensation you get.
And Sierra Leone gears up to presidential elections. DW's Abubakar Jallo is on the ground and tells us how things are looking like.
It's the first election where people are actually talking about issues, that is corruption. That is the death of 4,000 people at the most multiplied.
These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you. But first, here is a chance to listen to what's been happening around the world.
This is DW News with me, Isaac Mugabe. The ramifications of Italy's key national election are starting to unfold. There are reports that former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi may be resigning from his Democratic Party anytime soon. Renzi's party won less than 19% of the vote, an historic low. More than 50% of voters cast their ballots for far-right or populist parties. A right-wing alliance comprised of the Anti-Migrant League Party and former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia got the largest share. They are followed by the Five Star Movement. Renzi's counter-left alliance ended up third. And as Italy heads for a hung parliament in Germany, the political limbo is over. After months of waiting, a new government is finally in place, with Angela Merkel embarking on a fourth term as chancellor. Her Conservative Party is teaming up with the Social Democrats after party members gave the green light to a new so-called Grand Coalition on Sunday. Now, Merkel's made it clear she wants to hit the ground running.
It is good and important for things to get started in a few days, since with our coalition agreement, we basically have a full book of orders and tasks to execute, namely, with a view to the people in Germany who are rightfully waiting for a government that's able to act.
Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari received his Liberian counterpart George Weah in Abuja this Monday to discuss ways through which Liberia can be supported in its development plans and further boost its economy. The visit is the first for Weah to Nigeria since he was elected president. Weah hailed relations between the two countries and said his country was open for business.
We have come on a mission of gratitude and respect for the extraordinary and exceptional role that you, our Nigerian brothers and sisters, have played and continue to play in maintaining peace, stability in the West African sub-region, and more particularly in Liberia. Campaign elections and inauguration are now over, and the real work of governance has begun in Liberia. I hereby declare that Liberia is now open for business to the Nigerian private sector.
You are listening to DW News with me, Isaac Mugabe. Namibia has become the latest South African country to suspend imports of processed meat from South Africa after a deadly listeria outbreak claimed dozens of lives and many hospitalized. Namibia joins Mozambique, Zambia, and Botswana in banning the product in the wake of the outbreak that has killed at least 180 lives in South Africa. And for film lovers, The Shape of Water took the top honors at the Oscars. The film is about a woman who falls in love with a creature in sea. And 6 months after the launch of the Me Too movement, women look to seize the spotlight and more opportunity. Frances McDormand won Best Actress for 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, and persuaded every female nominee to stand with her in a night full of statements about inclusion. Britain's Gary Oldman was named Best Actor for playing Winston Churchill in World War II epic Darkest Hour. For more news, visit our website dw.com/Africa. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Jane Ayeko Kumet.
And my name is Jen Nyingi. We start off our program in Cameroon, where there have been mixed reactions following President Paul Biya's move to appoint in powerful positions politicians from English-speaking regions. While some view the appointments as a way of rewarding his loyalists, there are those who say it might soften the position of the secessionist. The current political situation in Cameroon has led to a refugee crisis and also escalated tensions with neighboring Nigeria. From Yaounde, Moki Kinzeka with more.
Among President Biya's appointees are Atanganji Paul, and he becomes the first politician from English-speaking region to occupy the powerful docket of territorial administration and decentralization since the country's independence in 1960. Professor Nalova Lyunga, also from English-speaking region, was handed over the education ministry. But some, like Professor Willibrod Zengwa, a historian at the University of Yaounde, believes those appointments will not in any way help to address the secessionist crisis, which began in late 2016, because both politicians are President Biya loyalists.
The crisis, the ongoing crisis, were somehow provoked by the same two people who are been given the positions. And of course, the one Cameroonian who stood out very clearly to say that there was no Anglophone problem is the current Minister of Territorial Administration. So I would rather read it in another way, that it seems as though the harder you fight against your people, the more compensation you get.
Bamenda-based opposition politician Neba Humphrey says he welcomes the inclusion of English-speaking region politicians in President Biya's cabinet, but more needs to be done by the government to win the trust of the people in that region.
We think that it's a positive step, but there's still a lot more to be done. Because at the end of the day, the issue that is important is whether the people are empowered and that economic growth and political maturity comes to the people.
The appointments were made after a curfew in the English-speaking regions, which led to arrests of several people. Researcher on conflict resolution, Manga Aristide, says Biya should give room for dialogue if he wants to solve the current crisis.
Dialogue with people who are complaining. You cannot appoint somebody who is saying there is no problem. Atanganji is saying there is no Anglophone problem. So he cannot help solve something that he does not recognize. You know?
There have, however, been additional efforts to promote the use of both languages, especially in the French-speaking portions of Cameroon. Many official documents are now translated into the two official languages, while many more French-speaking holders of public offices struggle to speak in English.
Moki Kinzeka there in Cameroon.
And now to Europe. In Italy, early results show more than half of the Italian voters have backed populist and far-right parties in the Sunday's election. The centrist parties have lost significant support.
No faction has an outright majority, and that means the country could face months of political deadlock to form a coalition. For more on the Italian elections, Patrick Grosse prepared this report.
Populist and anti-EU forces surged in Italy's parliamentary election. The anti-establishment Five Stars Party ends up with one-third of the vote, representing the strongest single party in the next parliament. So Five Stars leader Alessandro Di Battista sees his party in the position to form a government.
If these results are confirmed, it will be a triumph for the Five Star movement. Especially, it means that everyone will have to come and speak with us.
But even potential party coalitions are far away from majority. Former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's plan to get back in power also failed. The coalition of his conservative party Forza Italia with the anti-immigrant and Eurosceptic League Party could win most of the seats in parliament, but not the majority either. Nevertheless, League Party leader Matteo Salvini is also ready to form the next government.
The Italian vote allows us to rebuild Europe with women and men, not with clauses and bureaucracy and the choices of some speculator or some wealthy person.
Established parties, as the currently governing Democratic Party of former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, had to face a huge defeat, leaving him with no option but to resign as a party leader.
DW's Patrick Grossi.
Now, we leave elections in Europe and go back to elections in Africa, and this time round in Sierra Leone. In less than 48 hours, the people of Sierra Leone will be heading to the polls to elect the country's next president. There are 16 candidates hoping to replace President Ernest Bali Koroma, whose second term in office has come to an end. Now, the ruling All People's Congress, APC Party, and the Sierra Leone People's Party, SLPP, have always dominated politics since Sierra Leone gained independence from Britain in 1961. So how unique is this election in the political history of Sierra Leone? I put this question to DW's Abubakari Jallo, who is on the ground, and he has this to say.
This election is unique because the entire political landscape has been changed in a different way, because it's the first election where people are actually talking about issues. That is corruption. That is the death of 4,000 people at the mudslide. Investment of a Chinese company. Interestingly, the Chinese are building a new airport in Sierra Leone. And so that's become a huge question because they say it's too costly. And the government is not paying for it in loan. It's paying back in natural resources. That is why it's been very controversial. And also they are talking about corruption within the government itself. An example would be on the Ebola fund. There was about $7.5 million that got missing from the money that was donated by ordinary people and well-wishers of Sierra Leone to fight the Ebola.
Now, even as we talk about two candidates being the strongest out of 16, but what does this tell us about the current situation in the country politically? Is it a divided country?
Sierra Leone at the moment has been politically divided in a very serious. You can see that the country is not only politically divided, but it's also economically divided. It's divided security-wise in all terms.
Now, considering these political divisions, what can we expect after the election? I mean, when the results begin coming in and one candidate is declared the winner.
We expect a lot to happen. I think there will definitely be a runoff because the threshold is 55 points. By the look of things with these four major parties, if you like, none of them will actually manage to pull off a 55% victory. So there is absolutely going to be a runoff. And most of the people are actually talking about the successes of this current government, because what the government has been doing, it's been putting focus on constructing the roads and making physical development that the people can see. And because of that, so most of the people are very much happy. They say that they see successes, but you actually see the inflation rate is very, very high.
DW's, or rather Africa Link's Abubakari Jallo, right there on the ground in Sierra Leone. We shall be bringing you lots of stuff that is happening in Sierra Leone. We shall be reporting live there tomorrow as the people go to election polls.
Absolutely. And Jane, going back to our top story, that is Cameroon and the move by President Paul Biya to appoint in powerful positions politicians from English-speaking regions. When I look at our Facebook page, there are so many reactions, and it's like people are not happy with those appointments because they say the two are just sellouts. They are loyalists. There is nothing new. And Eriko Jombo says President Paul Biya's appointment is no event as far as the Anglophone crisis is concerned. Let him do things the way they are supposed to be done.
Interesting comment there. It looks like it's election time, it's politicking time in Africa as well as in Europe. We just had that story there from Italy where the elections have not come out. I mean, the results have not come out with a concrete candidate.
So absolutely.
It looks like they have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And, before they have a final candidate.
And there is also a comment from Tejan Mustafa, and he says, thank you, Abubakar Jallo, for that report.
Yes, we in Africa Link are out there to serve you to the best as we can. That's why we have our own person there.
Yes, indeed.
It's something interesting because Abu was speaking there, that it's the first time in the political history of Sierra Leone that the candidates are actually talking about issues, about the matters that concern the people. I mean, 16 candidates.
That's a huge number. So please keep those comments coming on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And we shall read them as and when we can. Welcome back. You're listening to DW's Africa Link with me, Jane Ayeko-Kumet.
And my name is Jane Nyinge. We are also live on Facebook, so please drop us your comment there. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, as Ugandan president makes changes in the security department, we find out if it was really a real change.
The system has remained intact. It's just a mere change of faces. Ochola is a professional police officer. And I have no doubt about his competences, but I highly doubt he will be in charge of the police institution.
And as usual, DW Samson Omale will be bringing us the latest from the sporting world. But first, let's continue with that story in Uganda, where people are still talking about the changes in the security department after President Yoweri Museveni shocked the nation when he announced the sacking of the Minister of Security, and Army General Lieutenant Henry Tumukunde, and the Inspector General of Police, also an Army General Kale Kaihura. Now, the sacking follows an outcry of a failure in the security sector as crime continues to rise. Over the past 17 years, Ugandan police has been headed by army generals. Now, could the appointment of Martin Okoth Ochola signify a return of police leadership to professional police officers? Our correspondent Alex Gita in Kampala sent us this report.
Criminal kidnappings, unexplained death, increased robberies and attacks on villages by men wielding pangas are just a few of security issues that are tormenting Ugandans on a daily basis. Security forces have been accused of failing to protect the people, but instead being part of the criminal gangs. The problem is further compounded by poor relations between the now ex-Inspector General of Police, the IGP Kale Kaihura, and the country's Minister of Security, Henry Tumukunde. Now, President Yoweri Museveni has reacted by firing both men. So how did the country's police go wrong? Fred Egesa, a retired police officer, has been sharing his views with me.
I try to study the way Kai has been running the police, and he has been having that, what we would call a draconian, theocratical way of governance, whereby he's the head and he's the bottom. And I'm sure the incoming IGP understands that once you run the force that way, it follows the same fate.
Ugandans who have long wished to see Kaihura out of office have reacted differently. Here are some of their views.
I'm happy they removed Kaihura because the police was a total mess.
It was a good idea to remove him instead of being hated by everyone.
It's like celebrating the new year before you know what it has in store for you. You might even die that year. I think it's too early to celebrate. Only God can help. Maybe the new IGP is the worst.
Many of the crimes are concentrated in the capital, Kampala, and as the mayor, Erias Lukwago, told DW, this is only a change in names.
The system has remained intact. It's just a mere change of faces. Ochola is a professional police officer, and I have no doubt about his competences, but I highly doubt he will be in charge of the police institution. I'm sorry to say this with due respect. These are political maneuvers. That's what Mr. Museveni is all about. Because the image of the police had been battered irredeemably.
Kaihura has been replaced by his deputy, Martin Okoth Ochola, who will now be deputized by Brigadier Sabit Muzei, an army officer. Human rights activist Livingstone Sewanyana says the new team faces a big challenge of reviving the image of a police tainted with human rights violations, corruption and nepotism, as well as rebuilding its capacity to investigate cases.
The shake-up, the changes that are being made, can only be welcomed if there is a deliberate effort to address those problems. It cannot bring about the changes if the root causes of the inefficiency and the failure of the police to act are not addressed.
Alex Gita in Kampala filed that report.
And there is a lot of reactions on our Facebook page following that report from Alex Gita. And Evan Christopher Adikai Seme says Museveni needs to sack himself. This man has been in power since whenever and forever, and the country has become nothing great or wonderful. One man cannot remain in power for life.
Interesting comment there. Maybe the people of Uganda will decide whether they still want to maintain him the next time they have elections. Baluku Boaz Muzei says, I'm beginning to see Museveni of 1986, who promised a fundamental change and not a mere change of guard. But it's a is it fundamental, or it's just an extension of the past confusion?
An interesting one. And Vincent Wamazembe says, where to go? I'm so happy that at last Museveni has acted on this Kaihura and Tumukunde. Kaihura has been fighting opposition politicians like they are enemies of the state.
And he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say he was so much concentrating on politics than keeping the law and order as the constitution provides the Ugandan people to do so. Kalenzi also says Uganda's problem is Museveni. He causes problems, situations, and later pretends to solve the problems but that he himself caused. Interesting comments coming out from you, our listeners. We thank you for all that. And do keep your comments coming on from the stories that we are reporting on, but also several other stories that we are covering on our social media platforms.
Health check. Now, the Ghanaian Health Authority has imposed surveillance and screening procedures at the various entry points into the country. This follows an outbreak of the Lassa fever that has so far left one person dead. The deadly disease is endemic in West Africa and has killed at least 72 people in Nigeria this year alone.
That's not good news, but we know that Ghana is prone to the disease because of its closeness to other West African countries. As Isaac Alechu reports, health officials are hoping the latest guidelines to the public and hospitals could contain the situation.
Lassa fever is an acute viral disease transmitted to humans from contact with food or household items contaminated with rodent urine or feces, or through contact with the blood, urine, feces, or other bodily secretions of an infected person. Symptoms include fever and general weakness. Health officials issued warnings when the outbreak was initially reported in Nigeria. A major health alert and guidelines have now been issued to the public. The head of diseases and surveillance at the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Franklin Asieduba Queen, says Ghana is prone to the disease because of its closeness to other West African countries. Mr. Bakwin says surveillance at health centers has been raised higher to contain the spread.
For surveillance, we have given case definitions to clinicians that be on the lookout for Lassa. So if somebody comes with, let's say, fever, then you need to be thinking, could it be Lassa? You need to ask the right questions and they can get it right. So we are kind of enhancing the sensitivity of our surveillance system.
The health alert also includes information on the disease, the symptoms, and a call on Ghanaians to report to the nearest hospital for observation when sick. But it appears many Ghanaians have little knowledge of the disease and are getting worried.
I've never heard of anything about Lassa fever before. It would have been good if the ministry come out to explain to and then give us the ways and means of preventing ourselves from this disease.
Most Ghanaians don't know about it, so I think they should come out more.
I'm worried because this thing should get to the authorities, higher authorities, so that they take measures in preventing it, so that they work on it, so that this problem or this Lassa fever will not be a big problem in Ghana now.
With fear among the public heightening, Ghana's health committee is calling on the government to release funds to equip health facilities in so as to adequately handle Lassa fever.
Isaac Kalechi for us there in Ghana.
And one quick one on that coming in from Jacob in Cameroon, who says, I've never heard of Lassa fever before. Why is it that all ugly and strange illnesses only originate from Africa? But probably that's not true. There could be other diseases that we don't know about as not being scientists. Now, on that note, as the country is battling this fever, the president of Ghana, Nana Akufo-Addo, is in Germany. And during the economic forum, he actually said Africa as a continent is reliant on aid. These are his words. And we did ask people on our social media platform to share their comments or their thoughts with us. And they've been doing that.
And we have Anselim Ngose says Africa is not nothing continent as the West regard. The thing is, this African president has auctioned Africa to the West, thus making life miserable to Africans. But soon we will overcome it.
That's a good one. And Kwakwae Jonathan says, well, I'm in for collaboration on trade as it benefits both of us.
But the interesting part of it, Jane, President Akufo-Addo is changing this narrative of Africa is a country. Africa is a continent that relies on aid.
We've never relied on aid. That's my own opinion, Jane. I think we don't rely on aid. I think it's been a different representation of Africa until now. And we in the media are trying to change that.
Absolutely. And now to your sports, and Samson Omale is here to bring us the latest.
We begin with the CAF Champions League Round 1 first leg matches scheduled for Tuesday 6th and Wednesday 7th March. Al Ahly of Egypt will welcome Wonana of Gabon to Cairo. Horoya will host Generation Foot of Senegal, while Young Africans of Tanzania will be at home to Township Rollers of Botswana. In other matches, Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia will welcome debutant Plateau United of Nigeria to Sousse in Tunis. 12 matches have been slated to be played on Wednesday. The aggregate winner after the return matches will book a spot in the lucrative group stage of Africa's Premier Club competition. Some football analysts here in Abuja are excited about some of the fixtures.
There's a lot to look forward to, basically, but you just can't look beyond the North Africans. Three of the big heavyweights are playing at home, and they've made that most of their home grounds a fortress for them. And the West Africans, the Central African club side, as well as the Southern African competition, have found it difficult to navigate this order too. So let's see if we can get an upset, but you just can't see beyond the North Africans going past this round of matches.
Well, this is the very last qualifying series for the teams that will be making it to the group stage. One game that I'll be looking out for is the Etoile du Sahel versus Plateau United game.
The Moroccan city of Marrakesh will be the center of attraction from the 5th to the 7th of March 2018 for the first ever CAF Women's Football Symposium. The two-day event under the theme Raising Our Game is expected to chart a new course for the development of women's football on the continent. Former entrant Frankfurt midfielder JJ Okocha has been named as one of the German Bundesliga legends. The former Nigerian international joins Ghana legend and CAF Deputy General Secretary Anthony Bafour in the 11-man Legends Network that will be flying the Bundesliga flag across the world. Some sports analysts speak on this latest recognition by the Bundesliga. Okocha joined the Eagles from FC Saarbrücken in December 1991 and went on to provide 13 assists, 18 goals and several memorable moments in 90 Bundesliga matches before moving to Fenerbahce in 1996 due to Eintracht Frankfurt's relegation to the second tier of the German league.
Definitely, you can't write off his footballing skills, and I did a whole lot of that while I played for Frankfurt. Scored a very interesting goal against Oliver Kahn, which still remains in the memory of many, many Nigerians and even people across the world.
He'll always be regarded as a legend of the game when it comes to Africa. Right from when he mesmerized the world when playing for Paris Saint-Germain before moving to Mantra in Frankfurt 2 again, he's been outstanding with his bundle of skills, his panache and guile, where he just made or entertained the fans. And Frankfurt had to do it or deem it fit to honor someone that has done it great for them.
Away from football news, Simidele Adefa Omonla Adebo is a Nigerian skeleton racer who competed in the just concluded 2018 Winter Olympics. She's Nigeria and Africa's first female skeleton athlete, as well as the first black female athlete in the sport of skeleton. Simidele says being the first black female athlete in the sport of skeleton is a fulfillment of a dream she will cherish for a long time to come.
Pyeongchang was really amazing. I mean, for me, it was the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. And I think to be able to make history for Nigeria was extra special. So I just enjoyed every moment and had fun with it. About 5 months ago, I tried out for skeleton and started the skeleton journey. And here I am.
That was Simidele Adefa, a Nigerian skeleton racer who participated in the just concluded 2018 Winter Olympics.
It's good to have that sports report from Omale. Thanks, Omale, for keeping us updated. And once again, a quick reminder. I did mention that the Ghanaian president was in Germany, slip of my tongue. I meant to say he was here last week during the business forum. That's all we had time for. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet.
And my name is Jane Nyinge. Thank you so much for your time.